Welcome to the Live Limitless podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Gigi Meyer, and we're going to be having a lot of conversations with experts in fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, in general health, but also in things like relationships, family, faith, business, sports, you name it. And we really just want this to be a space where you can learn how to break through all the things holding you back from living to your true potential one by one. It's time to live limitless. Let's dive in. What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Welcome back. And woo, am I excited for today's guest. Welcome back, Nikki Meyer Dennis. Thank you for being here today. As you know, I've been interviewing, you know, pretty much everyone in the family. I had Nate, mom and dad, and now it's your turn. Let everyone into your life a little bit today. So I'm excited, but I did yoga this morning, by the way.
Right.
I don't know for some reason, but I feel like whenever I do it, I feel like a little queasy. It's weird. So if I pass out, no, I'm just kidding. On a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in yoga? 1 being not at all, 10 being extremely interested.
Like negative a billion. Why not? I hate yoga. I hate it. I see the benefits. Like, so all the yogis out there, like I'm
mad respect.
You, but I just will never be able to be you. And I've just accepted that. And I just really don't like it. So
I
hard. And I just, it's one of those things that like, I just am going to accept it about myself and then carry on.
Well, and as a mom of 3, I can't believe it's already 3. That's insane. You obviously don't have a ton of time and you're a big runner. You're like the runner of the family, like the only one who runs. And so whenever you get that time to yourself, you go and run. And so how many miles a week do you say you get in or you try to get in?
6 a day. So whatever 6 times 7 is, 42 or something.
42 or 43. I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm working back up to it. I try to do 1 10-mile run a week. But I think I like running because it's low maintenance. I can literally at the drop of a hat, just go start running. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, no preparation. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to follow anything. I can listen to whatever I want or nothing at all. And it's just like the best bang for my buck right now. And so I think that's why I like it. And it's really hard to do it. So whenever I do get the chance to run, all in one piece, sometimes I have to break it up. I have to come back and like feed a baby or like something and then go finish later. Whenever I just have the chance to just go run, it just feels like a privilege. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just can't believe I get to do this right now. I'm just so grateful. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like what helps me run as far as I do, because my whole mindset surrounding it is just that I'm like lucky to have the time.
Mm-hmm. You appreciate it and you look forward to it. What do you do on your runs? Do you listen to podcasts or something?
I listen to podcasts. Sometimes I talk on the phone. Sometimes I watch Netflix. I swear to you.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll call you and you'll be like, hi.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you running? You're like, yeah. And it's like so much noise in the background.
I just, yeah, it's like my escape. And so whatever my vibe is for the day, like that's just it. Too.
I'm amazed that you can talk on the phone and you're texting me too sometimes while you're running. Like that's amazing. When I'm running, I can't focus on anything else but not dying. So
maybe that's why you hate it so much.
Yes, that's why. Because I die. Well, oh my gosh, the video you sent of Troy yesterday, I was going to ask you like, what's new? What's going on? What's new with the kids? What's the trend? But you sent a video yesterday of Troy taking his first piano lesson. And I was like, the whole time I was smiling because he's just so freaking cute.
He is. His little brain like needed a challenge that wasn't sports. We're like all over the place with sports. So like, I wanted him to do something else. And he's like a very smart person and a very like really likes to be challenged. And so I thought, piano, why not? And he was so sweet. He like the teacher. And by the way, like any parent who's looking for an activity for their 5-year-old, it was a fantastic 30 minutes well spent. And the teacher is awesome. Like she would sing like instructions to him and she'd be like, can you play the white keys softly, and like he would do it, and it was just like I was like, this is awesome just as an activity. And then the bonus in that is, you know, maybe he'll learn to play piano one day. But if anything, it was just a great way to spend time and watch his brain work in a different way than it does in anything else he's involved in.
Yeah, it seemed like he had a really good piano teacher.
He was amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about Gray? What do you think is going to be his thing?
Gray is just, he is so funny. Like, he is my challenge. Like, he is, like, challenges me, like, in ways that the others don't. Because Troy is so agreeable. He will do whatever. Savannah, obviously, is, like, tiny baby, so she has to be agreeable. But Gray is the one that, like, will say no. I'm not wearing those socks because I want the red ones. And the red ones are like in the laundry basket covered in mud because they played outside yesterday. And it's like this whole, he is like very adamant and very particular. And, but then on the other hand of that, he is so funny. Like that kid will stop me in my tracks every day and make me laugh until I almost cry. He is so funny. I don't think he's the musical type. I think he's like, like Troy is like very intellectually driven like throughout the day. Like Gray is just like all over the place. So I don't know, maybe he's like gonna be a ninja warrior, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. Because
to me,
wait, what'd you say?
That just came to me.
Yeah, a ninja warrior, I could teach him how to do that. You being the first board, I feel like you were pretty intellectual. Like you did the piano, you did some things like that, but you're also still the athlete. But then I was like the crazy one, kind of all over the place, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that will just ring true for these boys as well.
You know, gosh, I love them so much. Wait, first, because we did the Team Meyer podcast for a little bit. We went through the Team Meyer podcast phase and we brought up the tradition of boob moments. Are there any recent boob moments that you have?
I feel like my whole life is a boob moment.
You're just a boob.
Just totally all the time. I do have a story just of unfortunate events.
The boob in the story might have been mom. Wait, is this the one that you're talking about the other day?
Yeah, but where it wasn't she parked.
No, but where she parked.
That was challenging. Like, so here's the thing. I went somewhere like near the end of the day, which usually I'm at home at the end of the day and I have everyone's dinners ready. So then like the boys come home from school, they eat and it just like flows very, very nicely. I went somewhere and left the baby at home and just all these things happened. So number one, she wouldn't take the bottle, which threw off everything. That was just like the shot heard around the world. That was like the thing that set everything off and messed everything up for the rest of the day. She wouldn't take the bottle. Then she wouldn't take a nap. So then I'm getting the boys and I'm stressed out because I'm like, great, Savannah's hungry. She's tired. It's already like 5 o'clock. So she's like going to be napping when she's supposed to just like actually be going to sleep. It's just this whole mess. So we get home and mom is parked in front of both of the garages because, into her defense, our nanny was parked in her spot. Oh. So it was like mom didn't know where to go. So she just parked in front of everyone else's spots, basically. And so I pull up and it's pouring rain and I can't park in the garage because mom's car is blocking it. So then we like come inside. The dinners are not ready, obviously. The baby's screaming and she's hungry. And it's like, so I walk in, I immediately like am trying to like do all three things at once. And mom is just like really trying to be my hype girl. She's like, okay, it's fine. Like, what do you need from me? What can I do? And it's almost like she couldn't really do anything. Like, and it wasn't her fault. Like, it's just like things that only I could really do. So it was just complete chaos. And then like, I finally get the boys' dinners situated. Savannah's fed and she's in her bed asleep. And then all of a sudden dad comes in for the kill shot. And he's FaceTiming me. And I'm like, I can't do this right now. Like, let me just like continue getting things back on track. And then he FaceTimes mom because they don't answer. And then mom answers. And all of a sudden it wasn't just one of those things like, oh, let me say hey to the boys. It was like, he was with another family of boys that wanted to talk to my boys. So it was just like going to get it all riled up again. And I was like, okay. So finally everyone eats dinner and, I banish everyone. I'm like, Mom, take the boys and go take a bath. And I'm going to sit down here and make a charcuterie board by myself and quiet. Because that's like the only thing that my brain wanted to focus on at the minute. And so, and then I called you and I was explaining to you, like when things are on track, like when I am in total control of everything, it's like this. It's like a symphony.
Yeah. Nikki's directing a symphony.
There's lots of noise everywhere. There's lots of different sounds. There's a lot happening, but it's in sync and it's as it's meant to be. And I, you know, sometimes you have to little pixie dust here, a little magic trick there, but for the most part, it is very smooth. It's loud, but smooth. And it was just like, this was something I hadn't experienced.
Second you turn your back, what happens? Chaos.
Chaos.
Everyone's off tone, off note.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And then you turn your back around and then it's symphony again.
Yep. So that was it. I mean,
I feel like a lot of moms can relate to that. Just like that, the way you described it, symphony.
Symphony. It's a beautiful thing when it's in sync. It really is. But when someone's off tune, boy, is it bad.
Shout out to Mom really quick. I mean, she does her best. She crushes it. Best Mimi ever.
She's the best. And everyone in my house cried today when she left us. Like everyone is really devastated. Yeah. So shout out to Mom. Like she's just the best vibe, the best helper. I just wish she would live here all the time.
Or you can live down here.
I know.
Is it crazy to think that Mom and Dad are like right down the street from me now? I mean, not right down the street, but like they live in the same place as I do now.
Crazy. Are you trying to offend me?
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel left out and sad and jealous.
Jealous. Hey, that's how it was for me for a long time too. It was like you, Nate, Mom and Dad. And then I came up and lived with everyone for 2 years. But one day, I still believe God has it in his plans, in his future plans for you guys to be down here in Florida. So
in a compound.
Due time, if it's God's will. In a compound. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, yes. As we've grown up, you know, there's always been something that we've worked on together, whether it was like in high school, we played volleyball together. In college, we like played volleyball together and then whatever. But nowadays, like what's the project that we have working on right now? What are you to me right now?
Your house.
My interior designer. So yeah. You've been my interior designer lately, even though you're not like legit one, but you may as well be, but you're my interior designer.
They can like capture whatever your style is and do it for you. And I'm like, this is my style. Do you like it? And if you're like, yeah, then I can do it. If you're like, no, I'm more of a modern, chic, contemporary vibe, I'd be like, I don't know then. Sorry, I can't help you. But I think the fact that you like my style, like then I'm able to help.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. My interior designer, my fashion stylist, you have put together my wardrobe pretty well. Business mentor. I call you a lot about business stuff, but you've been a lot of those things to me. But the one thing that I didn't take your advice recently, do you know what that was?
The shower curtain?
No, no, not regarding the house. A dog.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
So I have been wanting a dog for years and I called Nikki one day and was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm getting a dog. And Nikki was like, no, don't do it. But to be fair, this was right after your firstborn had just passed. Poor Moon, you know? And so you were still heartbroken and you were like, I think that was the only thing that you were thinking about the moment was like having to go through something like that again. You know what I mean?
It's literally the reason I will never get another dog is because I just take it. But yeah, I mean, dogs, they're a lot of work and like they don't sleep for a little bit when they're puppies, but like I don't like the puppy stage just because it's like a baby, like it's so much work, especially if you don't have time for it. It's just like overwhelming. But once they kind of settle into like the dog phase, it's just like so amazing. And yeah, when they die, it's like the worst thing ever. And I never got it. People would be like, oh, I'd put my dog down and they'd be like depressed for like weeks. And I'd be like, I mean, that's sad, but yeah. You know, it was a dog. Like, I'm sure it lived a great life and I'm sure you're going to miss it, but it's not like your, you know, family member died, but I felt like family member died. Mm-hmm. I like totally eat my words on that. I was so depressed. It was the saddest I've ever been in my entire life. So yeah, that's like the, that is the negative of having a dog. Other, I mean, they are a lot of work, but like, whatever, you can deal with that. Mm-hmm. It's just sad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was, I mean, and it wasn't even my dog. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to watch or experience, but there's a lot of good that comes with, I mean, Moose was a great dog and a lot of great memories, but so yes. Interior designer, fashion stylist, dog mom, business mentor, you are a CEO of your own corporate wellness company. So nowadays, here's all the things that you, Nikki, are, just so everyone gets some context of like you, CEO of a corporate wellness company called Excel Well, who hired me. I worked for Nikki for a couple of years. It was so awesome. Shout out Excel Well. Mom of three kids, all five and under. Wife of a quarterback coach at Ohio State. Daughter of a, I'm biased, but legendary college football coach. And sister to the most badass person ever. So you have quite the resume. What am I missing? Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I think that's me in a nutshell.
Incredible. I mean, that's incredible. All the things that you do. And I mean, you've come a long way too. We've all come a long way too, right? We've had our ups and downs growing up as kids. But speaking of which, back when we were kids, do you remember the day when I was born?
No, I like was trying to think about that. I feel like I remember. No, I actually don't.
No,
I was like, you can't remember things until you're like,
you're only what, 2.5, 3? Yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw a video recently. Remember of you singing to me?
He did like you. It was obvious in the video. So that's
you were singing me Amazing Grace. You should sing it to me right now.
Oh, you know, I just try to save my voice for very special occasions.
Well, what do you remember being like as a kid?
I remember being very girly. And I remember really liking attention. Like I really liked to be like the center of attention and do shows and dance and all these things. I was very outgoing. I was like kind of athletic, but not anything near what you were. Yeah, I mean, I like, athletic. But I wasn't like involved in as many things as you were. Like, I just was more like girly athletic.
Right.
I was probably very dramatic, I would assume, as a kid, because I still am. So.
So you did things like, so yeah, I was doing things like basketball, baseball, football, and you were doing things like ballet and gymnastics, and which still was, it was like things that I was still trying to do. Cause I, ever since I can remember, I still like looked up to you in a sense. And so remember I went to like gymnastics with you one day. Yeah. And then I tried to play softball like once and I was like, no, I just can't do it. But I ended up playing volleyball in college, following your footsteps.
Right.
But yeah, it was just interesting how our dynamic and how different we were as kids, but at the same time, like pretty similar, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's like, I see Gray do that with Troy. Like they're very different and like clearly have different interests and personalities, but like there's just really something to Gray about being like Troy and doing things that Troy has interest in, like whether Gray really cares or not. Like it's interesting because Troy thinks it's interesting.
Yeah.
like a normal like sibling dynamic for sure.
Do you see a lot of similarities like that? Like between me and you, do you see similarities in Gray and Troy? Or do you ever think like through that lens when you see them, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, cause they're right around the same age gap that we are, right?
Yeah. They're 24 months apart. We're 24 plus 6. So we're like 30 months apart. So yeah, yeah, I try, basically what I think of is I'm like, I can't wait for them to be best friends. They fight, they're boys. So they physically fight, whereas we never like did that, I don't think. And it's to the point where like, I have a little baby now, like I can't interfere and be in the middle of it all the time. I try to like keep everybody safe, of course, but like sometimes I'll be upstairs feeding the baby and I'll hear like them just screaming at each other and clearly physically fighting over something. And I'll like try to yell, I'll be like, hey, stop right now or whatever. And like, they don't care. And it's like, I think that's just being like, I think that's just boys for you. Yeah. So that's one very clear difference than how we grew up, because that would have never happened. Mm-mm. But I feel like just talking to other boy moms, like that's just like brothers for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. They are rough with each other, but I think they've learned it. Who do you think they learned it from?
Their dad and then our dad.
Yeah.
All they do is fight, and it drives me crazy. Like Corey will come home and everybody's, and Gray will come up. He's like, let's fight, fight. And I'm like, we have to teach them that there's other ways to like interact with adults other than like wrestling, like do a puzzle, read a book, do just anything other than fight. And then like, but they just fight. That's what they do. They gave dad a bloody nose.
Yes.
They gave him a bloody nose.
I was there. Yeah. They go until someone gets hurt. That's how it works.
That ends always, or else it just would never end. So someone has to get hurt. And somebody gave dad a bloody nose.
Well, that perfectly segues into the next thing I want to talk about. There was a point in our lives where we didn't get along very well. Do you remember when that started and like, why? Was I just like the annoying little sister?
I think that's just another thing is like, everybody goes through this phase of like wanting independence, like from their family, like they're trying to discover their own like unique personality. And you can't really do that if you just have a sibling around all the time. Like, I want to figure out who I am without you, without mom and dad all the time. Like, I want to figure out my own place in the world. And so I think that that just is part of it. And like, as the younger sibling, you always want to be part of it, but the older sibling's like, no, hold on a minute, let me just like, I used to not have you around, like you weren't always around, now you're like always around, so I need you to just not be around for 2 minutes again.
Do you you never had that with Nate? You and Nate always got along really well, right? Because
years apart, like we're so far apart that it was
me and Nate went through a phase where we didn't get along because I think we're closer in age.
Yeah. Then that's probably the same dynamic then, where you're trying to figure out your place in the world, but you can't really do that with a little brother all over you.
Right. Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that we're like best friends now, even Nate, like we're all just three best friends now. And speaking of you and me in particular, when do you think we started to get along? When did we, like, I can't even pinpoint exactly when it happened, but for some reason we immediately became like really close.
When we played volleyball together in high school.
That's what I was thinking too. So you were a senior and I was a sophomore, and you were playing libero and I was playing setter. And for people who don't know what volleyball is, the libero essentially gets the first contact of the ball and then she passes it to me and I set one of the hitters. And so our positions worked hand in hand. Like we were like, you know, partners in a sense there. And so that's, I think that was really cool. And I don't know if it was because we kind of just had to, because we knew that we needed a little bit of a better dynamic, but I remember how fun that was. That was like one of the most fun years was playing volleyball with you.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But now that's translated to like when this last baby was born, like you stayed at my house for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And like anytime anything happens, whether it's relevant to you or not, like I'm sending it to you, like, or I call you to tell you about it. Like you're my person for sure. And I just would have never thought, just because we are so different when we were growing up and we did have those years where we didn't get along. Like, I'm just so glad that it's come full circle, you know?
I know. Thank goodness. And one of my favorite memories of you, and if I posted it, it'd probably go viral because it was by far the best maid of honor speech I've ever heard in my entire life. Like that was insane how good it was. And so if you could kind of condense like just the overall theme of like your maid of honor speech, how would you describe it? Cause it was like the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And I think everyone would agree who heard it.
Well, it was definitely the most honest, like heartfelt thing I've ever written. And I thought my strategy was like what made it just feel really good was, and I went, you know, some people work on those things for like a month, 2 months advance. Like I didn't, I had a blank notepad in my phone in the morning of, I wrote it like throughout the day.
Amazing.
And I had like an overarching structure. Like I wanted to talk about like me and you growing up and like just our connection. And then I wanted to talk about like what makes you just so uniquely perfectly you. And then I wanted to just talk about you and Brian and like why this marriage was just going to be one that like everybody looks up to for their whole lives. And I just wrote it throughout the day. So it was like, and I was very much emotionally like in the moment. So I was writing about how I felt right now, which was, I was feeling all the things. Like, it was like a very emotional day. Like, everyone was emotional on your wedding day. I don't know why. I think it was just like so exciting that like you got to be the center of attention all day. And it was the most perfect day. And like, it just felt so good that you just had all of that perfection for you and Brian, of course. And so I think like my strategy to write the speech just made it feel exactly how I was feeling, because that's like literally when I wrote it and that's what I liked. Yeah. So yeah, that was I still have it like in my phone. I need to like,
I mean, we have someone recorded the entire thing. It was amazing. And I loved how you kind of dove into the different aspects of our like relationship. Like, we went through being teammates, you know, obviously siblings, through co-workers, or, you know, you mean my boss and I was working for you, and all the different like components of our relationship and how we've kind of developed together in that sense. And that was so cool. Maybe I'll post it so people can hear it. 'Cause if you let me,
I remember I like chugged a glass of champagne right before. I was like, all right, here we go. I remember being like, this is,
it was
already emotional of a day. And I was like, if I can get through this without crying, it's going to be good.
You did.
And so I knew the only way to accomplish that was to just down a glass of champagne as fast as I could and then just power.
Wow. I love it. And oh yeah, that was one thing that we missed, is you were my wedding planner. You helped me plan the entire thing. And it was the most beautiful day ever. Very gifted.
And Stephanie and Morgan, and all of them, they really came in at the end with all the perfect finishes and coordination, of course. But yeah, I think conceptually, like together, we got to plan that thing for over a year and it ended up just being perfect.
And it was outside. So we took a big gamble on that. Ooh. And it ended up being the most perfect day. And Dad jokes, it's because Tim Tebow came to the wedding and he was like, Timmy made sure it was going to be a nice one.
Thank you, Timmy. Thanks for that.
Shout out. But yeah, so I mean, at this point, like we are probably, you know, me, you, Nate, mom and dad, like we're probably the closest that we've ever been. And obviously, you know, we've had a different upbringing, especially like me, you and Nate as kids. Yeah. And I mean, everyone has their battles. But we've definitely had a unique upbringing, where we've got to be able to experience like the highest of highs, like the highest of highs, but then also like the lowest of lows. And you know, and that type of fluctuation can be exhausting and it can be really hard on some families. I mean, everyone experiences those fluctuations. But in particular for like a celebrity family, like that can really destroy some families and just people in general. And we could have easily, mom said this on her podcast when I was with her, she said, you kids, you guys could have just been like, peace. I don't want any part in this. You know what I mean? But somehow we've managed through the highest of highs, being on top of the world, to the lowest of lows, to like hitting rock bottom, we've managed to just grow closer and closer. And
yeah,
it's not like we're perfect. None of us are perfect. We still like get in fights. We tick each other off and we have things that we do that annoy each other. But like, how did we manage to just remain so close? And, I don't know, like we were just so reliant on each other. You know what I mean? It through that fluctuation.
Yeah. I think that we just were taught like your family, they're your people. And it's like, what else matters truly? And I think that's what happened. Like we were actually put in situations where we had to decide like, or we would feel like everything else feels like it's crashing down genuinely. Like, but it's okay because our family's close. Like it was just the one thing that always felt consistent and safe and supportive and, you know, nice. Like we were surrounded by like so many awful, mean, negative things. Like, it was just like the one safe place that everybody could retreat to, and like everyone would just take care of each other, and it would like change, you know, in the midst of the hard days. Like, there would be some days that I was having a great day, and like, if I was having a great day, like, I made sure that I called you and like gave you some of my like strong vibes, like Nate, mom and dad. Like, I was like, I'm just gonna share my good vibes because I'm having a great day today. I feel great and I feel strong. But then I would have days where I just did not, like, I did not feel strong and I felt weak and tired. And then I would reach out to you and I would, you know, and you would stop whatever you were doing and you would call me and like get me kind of back up to like a stronger place. And then we would wait and see who had the good vibes to share the next day. And it would just be somebody else in the family. So it was just like a very collaborative experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then also during the good times, like, nobody ever like floated away into like being too high and like too above. And mm-hmm. I think we all still remained grounded, because when dad, you know, one of our highest memories, I'm sure for everybody, is like one of the national championships, all of the national championships, like high top of the world, like what else right. is there to accomplish? Like, and for him, and, but it was always about family. Like, he never just disappeared and like went on a victory tour without the family. Like, everything right. good we experienced together, which I think allowed everyone to feel grounded. And we stayed somehow, you know, humble during all of that. And then we were humbled in the hard times. So I just think that that's where the closeness comes from. And there was like, there were no runners. Like, there was nobody that ever in the midst of the drama, like, just retreated entirely. Like, everybody just took care of each other on the days that they could and mm-hmm. reached out for support on the days that they needed that.
Wow. Yeah. Perfectly said. But in you in particular, like, you personally, you've always been the oldest sibling. And so do you feel like there was a different type of pressure that you had to kind of like, hold it together?
I don't know if it was because of like, I'm the oldest. I think I have this defense mechanism.
Yeah, that you're the protector.
Oh. Everything's fine. Yeah, I will like handle it. Like, I think that's just like my brain. I'm like an over-functioning person, like in the midst of like anxiety. Like, there's people who over-function and like just like take control. Like, and I look back sometimes and I'm like, I don't know how I ever felt confident that day that like things were going to be okay. But I truly like, look, I don't know how I felt that way, but I always did. Like, and I think it's a defense mechanism in my brain. Like, my brain just, it's like fight or flight. Like, I'm just a fighter. Like, my brain just fades into this place where I'm like, just take care of people, like be tough. Like, if you're not tough, like get it together as fast as you can. And I think that's just the way my brain is wired. But then I look back and I'm like, man, that was brutal.
I know. Wow. Yeah. And I mean, speaking of, you know, just one of our most recent, just it seemed like in December, it was just like so chaotic, right? It was just, there was a lot going on, but then that was the month that, you know, Moose had left us. And so there was a lot of heartbreak going on and, you know, but here we are. I mean, we're doing pretty good. And it seems like that's the only way that we would have been able to survive, is just the bond that we had as a family. Like, remember how we used to joke about family bonding, like on all our trips, you know?
Yeah.
Family bonding time. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think mom and dad are obviously like really great instigators, like really great examples to us as well, but they've, ever since we were born, have made that a huge priority, is just us being together and spending time together and going on trips together and dad planning trips every single, you know, year as a family. So yeah, I mean, that's really cool. And I think at some times, like, we could easily take for granted, because I just feel like it's always been like that. There's never been a time where we've been like estranged or like fighting or anything right. like that. And so we could easily take that for granted, the bond that we have, but it's way more rare than we think, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the more I hear people's stories, having a close knit family like we do is just so rare, you know?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's rare, and I think it's something that I cherish for sure. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes like a lot of adversities to, sure. get there. I don't think we would be nearly this close if our life was just national championships and fun and all this. I don't think like we would be closely knit like we are today.
Oh, for sure. Do you feel like the way you see mom and dad raising us, do you see it translate into the way you're raising your kids?
For sure. For sure. And it's like, it's my goal to like raise a family, like one that my kids want to hang out with me. Like I love to hang out with that. Like they're like so fun. And I hope my kids like view me and Corey as fun. And like, they are excited when we're around, they want to be around us. They want, yeah, I think that's my goal. And so I will absolutely copy so many ways that mom and dad raised us to that same outcome.
Right before we got on this podcast, I was texting dad. I was like, what are you doing tonight? You want to hang out? It's just so funny. I know. And earlier this week he came over for dinner, cause I was just like, hey, you want to come have some hamburgers?
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. They're the best. But nowadays, right, after talking about all the, you know, just chaos that's happened, like ups and downs and fluctuation in our lives, like now, not only are you a daughter of a football coach pretty much up until like, you know, this point, but now you're a wife of a football coach. And you're the only person in the family that's experiencing that, like being the wife and being the daughter. Like, do you love it or do you, or what is it?
I do. Like, it's, I love it, but it's also like, I just am trying to get used to, you know, and it's weird because you think I would have been more prepared for this. Like I grew up with dad being very busy and mom being like the main caretaker and the main person that did everything. And so you'd think that like, that would have been my expectation, but it's hard, like being by myself. That is definitely the negative is, you know, Corey being gone and busy all the time. And I'm responsible for the house at all times, the kids at all times. And that's just assumed responsibility. There's no like meeting at the beginning of the week between me and Corey where it's like, okay, you get them on Tuesday, I'll get them Thursday. Like 100% of the time assumed I've got it. Mm-hmm. And as much as I should have been prepared for that, because that's how I grew up, it's just been like the hardest part. But my kids get to do things and be around those players, and that makes it all worth it. Like a couple of them have come to Troy's football games on the weekends. They are like big brothers to my kids and they treat me so well. They're like the sweetest people. I love to be around the players. I love to meet their parents, and they're all such good kids. I want to know, like, how did your parents raise you? Because they did an amazing job. Like, I feel like there's just lots of learning opportunities for me. So yeah, it's been a great experience, a busy one. Like, I feel like my life is like this. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and you have a lot of grocery bags in the car and you're like, I'm just going to make it all in one trip?
Yes.
Like, you're like, this is ridiculous. And it probably would be way easier and more comfortable if I just made it in two trips,
but you have to do it in one
for like 5 minutes and make it in one trip. Yeah. And like, I just feel like that's my life all the time. Like, I'm like, this is really uncomfortable, awkward, and heavy, but I can just do it. I got this for about 5 minutes. And then it's just a really bad deal if you drop a bag and it's salsa on your hardwood.
Or a bottle of wine.
Oh God, the wine. That's bad.
That's even more.
I know. And then you can't drink it.
I know. So, and it's way more expensive than salsa. So
yeah. Salsa is like $3. Wine, like, I don't know, whatever. Anyways, I just feel like that's kind of what life feels like. Or like today I was like, oh, mental note, Troy needs his nails cut. Mental note, empty that diaper genie. Mental note, order this on Amazon because we're out. Mental note. And guess what? I haven't done any of those things. I thought about all of it.
It gets done when it gets done. I mean,
it gets done when it gets done. And I just think that like, that's been the biggest learning curve is just managing this by myself for the most part, especially that are gone. But I mean, most all coaches' wives do it. They all do it. You know, even other wives, single parents, like they all, everybody, you just figure it out. You just carry all the groceries in at once, figure it out.
Wow. You live and you learn, you get stronger. The more groceries you carry, the stronger you get. Right. Yeah, exactly. And you learn some tricks and hacks on how to make it easier, maybe a little bit, maybe not.
Yeah. Or you just get used to it being a cluster. But, you know, maybe then achieve the symphony. Yeah. And it's all.
That's awesome. But what does that remind you of? You talking about how the players like go to the kids' games and they get to hang out with the kids and stuff like that. That reminds me of us growing up. Like we've been able to establish relationships with some players growing up. And that was a pretty cool like experience that we've got. Do you see like a little bit of the resemblance of how like your kids are growing up in the football world, similar to how we grew up?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Like in these players, like they either like the interaction with the little kids. They either like it. If they don't though, you would never know because it feels just so genuine and so kind. And I hope they understand the impact that that has like on little kids. Cause think about the impact it had on us. Like we loved getting to know the players and having them around and having them as big brothers to us. And it just, it matters. It makes a big difference and you make little kids feel special. It just, it reminds me a lot of how we grew up. And I think that's why it's so important that our kids establish those same relationships.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so speaking on like those relationships, I think dad had done a really good job, like establishing that type of culture around his, you know, team and his culture was like, we're a family, you know? And so he always had us around, he had players over to the house and we had developed relationships. And I imagine it being the same with you nowadays, but that also comes with a lot of like just ups and downs in and of itself, right? Like we had a lot of, just experiences like of players, you know, going through tragedies and like, you know, the first person I could think of is Avery Atkins. Remember him? I remember like hanging out with him a few times and then hearing one day that he, you know, passed away. And then Nikki, the most recent one is Dwayne Haskins, like just getting to that level of relationships with the players. It'd be really easy to kind of distance yourself and just keep it like business is business, you know, this is just football, but there's something special about your ability to like let these players into, you know, your lives and, which is great. And it's amazing to them and for you guys, but then it also opens you up to like things like this, tragedies, heartbreak, you know, like obviously the Dwayne thing that happened recently. Dwayne was, I think you said, the first football player that Troy knew, right? So what kind of like, what's been the vibe just the past like week or so?
Oh my gosh. I think the whole world like kind of lost its breath for a minute, like Buckeye fans all over the world. And then even just like sports fans, like he was to them, like to most people who know his name, they knew him as like one of the best quarterbacks ever, of course. But like Ohio State people, especially like people within the program knew him for him and the kind of person he was. And oh my gosh, it was just terrible news. And we're still grieving. All of Ohio is grieving. And just that just happens like in it, and it's a tragic loss. And you know, you start to love them like family. And you know, even when one of them is sick, like one of our quarterbacks like had a little cold the other day, and I was like, do you need anything? Like I just feel like this need to like be there for them. Like they're away from their families, like they're here with us, and like you become their family when they're away from home. And so I feel like you just really develop that relationship. And I was going to do a post about Dwayne because just of all of our amazing memories, he single-handedly is responsible for so many good memories, like with Troy and with me as a mom, like watching my first baby interact with a football player. Like a lot of that was Dwayne. And so when I was looking through my photo album for a couple of pictures of him, my very first picture of Troy was when he was 4 months old at a spring practice with Dwayne. And I just was like, this is unbelievable. It's just awful news, and just lots of prayers to everybody who loved him and knew him. And he is going to be greatly missed for sure.
Gosh, so rough. And I know Corey was close to him too. So that, you know, probably was really rough on him, but rough on everybody. And gosh, I mean, but that is, you know, life, like stuff like that just happens and it's unfortunate, but it still makes you thankful for the time that you had with him and the time that you have, like, you know, just with these players. And yeah, but let's talk about something a little bit more uplifting. Let's switch gears a little bit. yesterday or was it 2 days ago? You and I were on a phone call and you were like, this is what you said. You were like, first of all, I feel like whenever we're talking, we're laughing like the entire time. Like we're just like laughing at jokes.
Yes.
And you said, I really don't think I'm that funny of a person. I just think my life's a joke. And we laughed about that for like 8 minutes.
Well, that was a big realization for me because we laugh a lot. And a lot of it is you laughing at me, like telling you something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't think you're laughing at me. I think we both realize my life is just a joke.
But it's so true. Like you are a funny person. You are, but it is a lot of times we're laughing is because your life is a joke, but just
oh my gosh,
give everyone a little bit of a, just let us in into a day of your life, a life of Nikki, a day in Nikki Meyer Dennis's life.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's see here. This is just a little graphic, but this is just what's on my brain. So I apologize if this is gross, but I have 3 kids. So everyone their pants at the same time the other day. It was like, and it was one of those slaps in the face to me because basically I had everybody in bed. I was like changing Sav's diaper. So there's number one, getting her ready for bed. Like she's in like a perfect flow for bedtime. All I got to do is get a clean diaper on her, put her in bed. All of a sudden, Troy and Gray are screaming at each other, fighting because they both have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, just somebody go in a different bathroom. And Gray's like recently potty trained. Like he's good enough to where he doesn't like have accidents, but like, it's a big deal if he's not able to go to the bathroom on the toilet of his preference, which Troy was already using, which caused a big fight. And then Gray was like going in his potty pants, which like is this huge problem. And I was trying to explain to him like accidents happen, but it was just this really big thing. And this is at night when I'm like ready to sit down for the night and like kind of wipe my hands clean of parenting for about 12 hours. But yeah, that was like the finale. And it was just chaos and crying, screaming, messy. Sav's nighttime got all messed up. Gray's devastated. And then I'm yelling at Troy because he should have picked a different toilet.
Stay in the line. I haven't heard this one. When did this happen?
It's just, I don't know, like probably Monday. I just call that Monday. That's just Monday.
A day in the life. Oh my gosh. It is chaos. I mean, whenever I go up there, it's like, woo. But I mean, they're the best kids ever. I freaking love
them. They are. They're so good. And like, you know, sometimes I'll pick them up from school and Sav will be hungry. So I'll sit in the back with them and I'll feed her and they'll just sit there and we'll just like talk in the car for like 30 minutes in a parking lot. And I'm sure people are like, what are they doing in there? But it's like, we're just hanging out. Like we just really have adopted this, like it's organized chaos, but it will always be chaos, you know, like. But I think that's just my life. And it's a life that I never thought I would appreciate because pre-kids, I was like very organized, very well thought out. But now I'm like, just do the best you can with what you got. And sometimes that means you're sitting in the back of your car, feeding your kid, talking to the others for 30 minutes. That's okay.
That's great. And you have quite a bit of a challenge coming up this weekend, right? For the spring game.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So 3 deep, I'm rolling 3 deep to the spring game. It's supposed to be a nice day. So thank God.
Oh, good.
We'll see how it goes.
What are you going to have? Sav in the holder.
I'll wear Sav in the baby holder. Gray and Troy will hold my hands. Gray knows like this is an audition for him. Like if he performs well on Saturday, AKA he listens to me, he's welcome to join me and Troy in the fall. If he acts nuts and doesn't listen and I can't watch the game, then he's out. That's the rule. Like I don't bring kids to the game as like a family activity. Like I go watch the game. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to join me if you are also going to watch the game. Yep. But I'm not going to like watch you and make it this whole like thing. It doesn't have to be. Like I can get a sitter for you. I would love for you to join us, but you must watch the game. And Troy has magically handled that for the last 2 years. He loves football so much. And I'm praying that Gray does too, because it's actually my dream to go to the game with my boys and us all sit and watch the game together. Yeah. Not be chaotic in the stands and like going to the snack bar every 2 minutes. Like that. No, we're not doing that. Like, but if you can come watch the game with me, like it's going to be a very memorable fall for all of us.
Well, you've gotten a little bit of a taste because Troy is in football season right now and you bring Gray, right? And he does pretty well.
Yeah, but I haven't set that expectation real well because he like runs around and like doesn't really watch. Like, So we're going to have a talk tonight and tomorrow just about how important this is and what an opportunity for him to rise to the occasion and sit and watch the game, because then he gets to do it all fall. Wow. So we'll see. That's a little bit above a 3-year-old's comprehension, I think. So I'm going to have to like, you know, work with how I'm going to phrase it to him, but I really hope he gets it because it would just be so fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Stab's probably out for the fall. She's out. Like she can go now because she'll just sleep in the baby carrier. But like a 9-month-old, like all they want to do is like move, you know? Right. So like, yeah, she's out for sure. Gray, we'll figure it out. Troy's in. Troy solidified his spot.
Yeah. He's Gray's a permanent
on
guy.
Deck. Yeah.
Gray's pending.
Pending. Yes. Pending. TBD.
Man. Well, Nikki, thank you so much. That was so much fun. And I know I'm going to have you on a lot more, but I just wanted everyone to get a taste of your life because it's a joke. It's hilarious. I'm just kidding.
My life's a joke.
It's such awesome. It's a chaotic symphony and you just do it so well. And, but yeah, thanks for sharing. And I can't wait to have you on again. Love you. And I don't know, any final thoughts you have for everyone?
No, I just love your podcast and thanks for having me on and having the family on, and just hope that it shines a little bit of light of what makes you, you, and what makes us. Nice. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, love you.
Yay. Love you.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Live Limitless podcast. If you enjoyed this episode today, do us a favor and share with someone you think will benefit from it. And if you just want to show general support, you can do that by leaving us a 5-star rating if you believe it deserves it. Or you can leave us a review or any type of feedback in Apple Podcasts. We want to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out the show notes for more information or to just see how you can keep up with me on social media. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Go crush the week and live limitless.